Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness once again. I'm your host, Keith Henry. We welcome you and we thank you for joining us as always. This evening on our Sunday evening broadcast, we will be analyzing some of the stories or articles that came out in the past week regarding health and healing, alternative health, diet, etc. And as we've stated before, Wednesdays when we talk about a particular health issue, a particular alternative remedy, herb, or combination of remedies, etc., hydrotherapy. And Sundays, we recently started a Sunday evening program wherein we will talk about all of the new things that have come out in health this week. Now, this evening, Dr. Morgan will be joining me. As you know, when I interviewed him once before on the show, he's going to be co-hosting the show with me this evening as we discuss and talk about some of the things that came out. Dr. Morgan, are you in yet?
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Okay. Henry.
And how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Good to have you as always.
It's a pleasure.
This evening, as I just finished mentioning, we're talking about some of the things that have happened in, with regard to that are connected to natural healing or natural health alternative medicine that have come out in the past week, something that we're starting to consider to do on Sunday evenings. I looked at four particular articles that I am going to be looking at discuss this evening with Dr. Morgan and with you, my listeners. And we're looking at the four topics. One is called Foods with Scary Surprises. It was by Dr. Mercola. He found an interesting article in talking about some of the things that the FDA allows in our foods and allows us to eat. Another article that we'll look at is something else, the FDA article that was written this week as well, was found on naturalnews.com. FDA says that we have no right, basically, to real food without their approval. Another article that we would like to talk about and discuss is an article dealing with antipsychotic drugs lead to blood clots. And finally, something that's been in the news that is not directly related to health. It is indirectly. Is how companies are charging the same prices, but they're putting less foods in their packages. They're charging the same prices, but they're putting less foods in their packages. And we hope that you'll enjoy the show this evening. We'll be right back with you after this brief message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Again, we're happy to have you. I'm here tonight. I'm Keith Henry with my co-host here this evening is Dr. Orit Morgan. And again, we'll be talking about a few articles, some of the things that have come out, current news this past week. If you are listening and would like to call in with a question or a comment, as if you are listening and you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we'll be giving you that number or the time to call in later. And that number will be 1-917-889-2207. Again, that call-in number is 1-917-889-2207. Also, if you are on, you can go to Blue Zone Wellness or blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness to chat, send us a chat message or question or comment, either one. And so today myself and Dr. Morgan are here. And the first article, Dr. Morgan, that I like to discuss and call to your attention is a article by Dr. McCullough. And he pointed out that the article is called Foods with Scary Surprises. Foods with Scary Surprises. And the article starts off by saying the FDA has established guidelines for a number of contaminants that it will allow in our food supply. The article was found at mainstreet.com that he was writing from. And he says that here's just some of what they found in their research. And it says one of the things, and we'll go to each one, and then I guess we can discuss them. First thing, it says that under potato chips, it says that the FDA will only take action when 6% or more of the chips show rot from pre- or post-harvest infection. So that, again, that they will only take action when 6% or more of chips show rot from pre- or post-harvest infection. So basically, that's telling us that if the rot was before they were harvested or afterwards, they're going to allow 6% of the potatoes from which the chips came to be to show evidence of rot, 6% or more. So anything up to 5%, they're going to allow for us to purchase and eat. But 6% and above, then they'll step in. You have any comments or analysis on that issue?
Yeah, it's sad, but it's not anything new, and I'm not saying we should just treat it as you know, something not important, but this has been going on for a long while. For example, chocolate, which most people like. The same FDA, if you go on their website and put up chocolate, they will tell you that they do not guarantee a bug-free, roach-free, roach parts chocolate on the market. But all they require is that the manufacturers of chocolate keep down the bug parts, the rot droppings and the rat furs and other aspect of things from rats and bugs to be at a minimal amount. And so what you found there, it's typical of what happened in the food manufacturing business, and it is sad when we, as a consumer, trust to these companies to put out products, and yet they're allowed to get away with policies that can affect our health.
That's true. And you mentioned chocolate, and I do remember reading something some years ago about they're allowing, you know, rodent droppings and, you know,
yep,
insect droppings up to a certain degree that's allowed. And I suspect sometimes, you know, when we eat these things, sometimes some of these sicknesses that people are diagnosed with, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are the direct results of some of the bacteria or whatnot that has come from the droppings of rats or other rodents.
No, Dr. Henry, you're so right, because I'm sure for the vast majority of people in the public, you know, arena, if they know that a roach is in their house, they do everything to get rid of that house, right? The rat, the same thing, because we know how much disease these things can trigger off, you know, the bacteria, the virus, and other germs that these things carry. We are scared somewhat, and therefore we have a great sense of hygiene and sanitation when it comes to keeping flies out, roaches out, rats out of our homes. And yet, why we would get frantic if we see a roach around or a rat around? Because we know that it is a carrier of many germs that can cause disease. We consume products like chocolate that have rats and roach parts in it.
Right.
You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, it's like we are penny wise in some cases and pound foolish in another.
That's true. And, you know, as you said, you know, if you we become so concerned about, you know, and not that we shouldn't be about rats or roaches in our homes, but yet at the same time, we're not as diligent, I guess, or as diligent as we should be when it comes to being knowledgeable about what it is we're eating ourselves and giving to our children and our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing on this particular article is he pointed out that with regard to tomatoes, that acceptable levels of mold contamination go as low as 15% in canned tomatoes to as high as 45% for ketchup. And the FDA allows up to 30 fly eggs per every 100 grams of tomato sauces, or up to 2 maggots per every 100 grams of tomato juice. So, you know, when we think about this, you know, now we have a situation to where we're eating or consuming fly eggs and maggots and whatever else is being allowed that we may not even know about yet. And with regard to tomatoes, also they're allowing acceptable levels of mold contamination as low as 15% in canned tomatoes, up to as high as 45% for ketchup, and that's mold. And so again, we have a situation wherein, you know, we're consuming knowingly and unknowingly. We have, you know, maggots and mold. And so, you know, that's another interesting thing, that the FDA, that's supposed to be, you know, protecting or helping protect the consumer, it's good to know that they are what they allow to be done, or what they allow to be consumed.
You know, it's really sad, because we as a public, we as citizens of this country, for most of us, we believe that our food supply is safe, because we have elected politicians who place these personnel at the FDA, right? You know, there, and who in turn employ others to really help keep our food source supply healthy. Unfortunately, what we find is that the lobbyists from these various industries have been able to influence the policies up there in Washington. And unfortunately, we as the public trust to these politicians and these civil servants at the FDA that they are looking out for our best interests. But from what you read there, it shows that it's all about money. And it also should warn us and keep us alert that we need to guard our health. We need to, most of the times, you know, get our own tomatoes, select our own fresh tomatoes, and make our own tomato paste, right? Tomato sauce and these things, and stop buying these commercial ones if we are going to be the guardian of our own health.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I think that's one of the things that we've done over, not only in this country but in other countries, over the years, there is a tendency to think that someone else, not to take total or full responsibility for our own health.
Yeah.
And we cannot, you know, as much as we would like to think that the government or governmental agency or a corporation is going to look out after our health, that's simply not the case. That's simply not going to happen. And again, if you're listening in and you want to call in, if you have a question or if you have a if you want to make a comment, the call in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/ Blue Zone Wellness, and you can chat, send in a question or a comment via the chat room. This is myself, Keith Henry, and Dr. Morgan, Harriet Morgan. We're talking here today about some of the news stories that have come out in the past week dealing with natural remedies, natural health, anything in general that's dealing with health and our wellness. Now, Dr. Morgan, the next thing that they noted, I just deal with these next two, and raisins and macaroni. It says here that the FDA won't mandate action unless 10 or more whole or equivalent Dropsilia flies and 35 of its eggs are found per 8 ounces of raisins. That's again, the FDA won't mandate action unless 10 or more equivalent Dropsilia flies and 35 of its eggs are found per 8 ounces of raisins. So really, if you think about it, you know, you can get a box of raisins, that, you know, one of the larger boxes, or have or mid boxes that are more than 8 ounces or 8 ounces,
mm-hmm.
And so, and that box, I guess, can have up to the equivalent of 35 of these eggs in it. Or less than 35,
that
34
is scary.
And mm-hmm. and 9 of the flies themselves. You know, that is not a, you know, that's something to think about, I guess, if we get one of these boxes of raisins and maybe planning on eating them.
It better we just eat our grapes.
That's right.
So, you know, but honestly, and I want to be very balanced, I do know that it's a very hard job, the FDA has, the government in general, to keep our food supply safe. And I know it's not easy. I think overall they do a pretty good job, but I think there is still a whole lot of room for improvement, in the sense that I don't think companies should be granted these leeways. You know, it is setting the wrong precedent, and it is putting our health at stake, because from the report you read there, I'm sure none of us would want to consume raisins, knowing that fly eggs, you know, and other things are in it. Yeah. And it shows how much, as you said earlier, we need to take interest in our own health. We are responsible for our own health. Don't leave it to the doctors. Don't leave it to the food manufacturers or the drug companies.
That's right. That's right. And now the final, in this particular story, the final thing they spoke about was the macaroni. And they said to take action, the FDA must find either an average of 225 insect fragments per 225 grams in 6 subsamples, or an average of 4.5 rodent hairs per 225 grams in 6 subsamples. Now, again, I'd like to just reiterate what Dr. Morgan has said, is that, you know, the FDA, they do have a pretty incredible job in trying to keep, you know, make sure the food supply is safe And in general, they do a pretty decent job given the task, given the size of the task that they have to deal with. As you know very well, Dr. Morgan, many times natural practitioners have come into the scope of the FDA, sometimes fairly, many times unfairly, but given the enormity of what they have to deal with just the food alone, it seems to me that would consume or should consume the majority of their time, because far fewer people deal with natural remedies than just eat food every day.
That's true.
And yet, many natural health practitioners have become victims. And some of them, may have been, in violation of the law or whatever. But I think the bigger picture is whether we have health freedom or do we not have health freedom. And I think which is, as we talked about before, closely affiliated with our freedoms in this country in general. And I'm a firm believer that if an individual wants to go the allopathic way, then they should be allowed to do so. If they want to go the natural way, then they should be allowed to do so. If they choose to pay for it out of their own pockets, or if they have insurance and they're paying those insurance premiums, if they choose to go the natural way, I don't see why they shouldn't be able to do so.
Right, I agree. It's sad to know that we as a public come to rely on the government, or the governmental agencies like the FDA for everything, for our health. And I will reiterate that it is just telling us how we need to be the first and foremost guardian of our health. Never take a herb or any other form of natural supplement or any drugs without first looking into possible side effects, allergic reaction. Don't take anything from our doctors without first checking it out for ourselves. And because the government cannot be there to monitor everything for you and I or these government bodies. So we have that personal responsibility to take care of our health. I know we are living in the United States where we believe that we pay enough taxes, we elect the right politicians to do the job, but no matter how good a politician, the amount of taxes we pay, that cannot take the place of our responsibility to safeguard our health by being alert.
That's so true. Yeah, if you're listening in or if you're here on chat, you're at Blue Zone Wellness. I'm Keith Henry, and I'm here, who's co-hosting with me tonight is Dr. Orit Morgan, and we're just discussing some of the things that have happened this past week and some of the articles and whatnot that have come out in the news with regard to natural remedies and natural health. If you wish to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Feel free also to come on to Blue Zone Wellness and leave a message via chat. We've been talking about an article that came out this week from Dr. Mercola at Mercola.com, talking about some of the things that the FDA allows in our food supply and to what levels they allow before they will take any action, to what levels they will allow things that we may not necessarily want to eat put into our mouths. Now, later on in this article, Dr. Morgan, Dr. Mercola mentions that the FDA, he begins to talk about deceptive food labeling. And he goes on to mention that he says the food labels found today on everything that's canned, packaged, packed or wrapped fall into the realm of anything goes. He says, while the FDA does check food labels, they only check whether or not the nutrition facts panel is present, rather than whether or not it's true and accurate. And of course, the label will never mention the acceptable number of rat hairs that may be found in the food. He goes on to say that beyond this, the FDA does not look for deceptive zero trans fat claims when serving sizes are so small they escape the need to label these dangerous fats. And they don't do anything about misleading made with real fruit used to describe added sugar, fruit paste, or all natural statements. He says the FDA doesn't check very often for mammalian feces, rat hairs, or fly eggs in your food. When they do check, it's usually a small batch, and in the case of tomato ketchup, a full 45% scent or samples are allowed to contain mold before the FDA considers action necessary. And then he asks the question, does this mean we can assume that 44% of all tomato ketchup contains some traces of mold? And then he goes on to say it wouldn't surprise him if that was in fact the case. He goes on to say that there's a chemical, one chemical found in our foods called acrylamide. And he says it was once believed to be only a product of the industrial race, but it was, that was up until 2002. And at that time, it was discovered to be almost everywhere in the human diet. He says it is a tasteless, invisible chemical byproduct formed when foods, particularly high carbohydrate foods, are fried or baked at high temperatures. And it basically says this chemical, acrylamide, it can cause or has been found to cause cancer in lab animals and neurological problems in workers who handle the substance. He goes on to say that avoiding acrylamide comes down to avoiding fried and baked carbohydrates like potato chips, French fries, pork rinds, and all manner of these, you know, these packaged, baked, fried snack products that you find in the stores generally. You have any comments or analysis on that, Dr. Morgan?
Yes, you know, and I sympathize with folks who are what I would say on the run, you know, in the sense of living a fast life, getting up in the morning, having to get to work a certain time if they have, for those of us who have children and have to get them to school. We are not back in the days 50, 60 years ago when life was somewhat slow compared to now. However, and so therefore we many of us find it quite challenging to fix all of our meals, you know, from scratch, so to speak. And so we rely a lot on the commercial foods of the day, potato chips and so on. But Dr. Henry, one of the things we could do as a public is to eat much more fresh fruits and vegetables, much more wholesome grains. And even though we might have to take, we might have to eat something baked or fried at times, then it wouldn't have that much effect on the body. As for those of us who live on a junk food diet, where then we have very little immunity against the buildup of cancer cells in the body. So I am not an advocate that, well, we can't eat something, and I'm sure you're not either, baked or fried. However, I see part of our problem here in society is that we do not eat healthy, we do not exercise as we should, we do not drink our water as we should, and so therefore our body has very little resistance against compounds or chemicals found in such foods.
I agree 100%. And one of the things that, as you mentioned there, is what we do is we have to make sure that we keep a balanced approach and not go too far and to the east or to the west. And, you know, I agree with Dr. Morgan is that, you know, we live in a fast society. And as he said earlier, if we would eat the majority of the time, eating copious amounts of fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, just overall, then, you know, eating a fried food here and a baked food, or I think he mentioned baked carbohydrates in the article.
Right.
potato chips, french fries, things of that nature. And again, you know, if you're out running up and down and you're somewhere and you haven't had anything to eat and you're not somewhere where you can get something healthy to eat, and I don't think Dr. Morgan does either, starving as opposed to eating something that might not necessarily be as healthy as it should be.
Right.
But it's to eat something nevertheless until, you know, if that's not your habit of doing so, eating something, you know, that may not be as healthy as it should be now and again is not going to kill you.
Exactly. I agree.
Let's move on to the next article, another article that came out this week. It was at naturalnews.com, and it talked about, basically it was entitled, the FDA says you have no right to real food unless they give you permission first. And this came out, he says, in a response to a lawsuit filed by the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, the FDA has articulated its belief that there is no such thing as a right to health or to purchase or consume any given food. The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund has sued the FDA for banning the interstate shipment or sale of raw milk products, alleging that the policy deprives consumers and a food buying group owner of their fundamental and inalienable right of A, traveling across state lines with raw dairy products legally obtained and possessed, B, providing for the care and well-being of themselves and their families, including their children, and C, producing, obtaining, and consuming the foods of choice for themselves and their families, including their children. In their legal response, the FDA countered that, quote, there is no deeply rooted historical tradition of unfettered access to food of all kinds. As evidence for this position, the agency cites the dietary laws of biblical times. Now, that's interesting that the FDA would cite the dietary laws of biblical times. They went on to say that the article goes on to say that the FDA goes further, stating that, quote, there is no absolute right to consume or feed children any particular kind of food because comprehensive federal regulation of the food supply has been in effect at least since Congress enacted the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906. Thus, plaintiffs claim, the article goes on, as part of their response, the FDA response, to a fundamental privacy interest in obtaining food of their own choice for themselves and for their families is without merit. Basically, in other words, the agency has stated that because Congress has given FDA the authority to regulate food, there is no such thing as a right to acquire any given food. So it's interesting that they would refer to the biblical laws of the Old Testament. And it's even more interesting that their position is because they do regulate food, that the consumer has no inherent right to any particular food or to have any particular food without basically the FDA saying so.
You know, Dr. Henry, it's sad for the FDA and for the government in general to really take a position of that nature, because on the same scope, you have tobacco, right? Whether in the form of cigar or cigarette or any other form, that we know is the number one leading cause of preventable death in this country. Right? In 2002, it was responsible for over 400,000 people. Second to that was obesity. And yet, any tobacco company is allowed to ship tobacco from Virginia, Kentucky, wherever the tobacco is grown, and or the cigar or cigarette is made, to other states. Yet, milk, right? Now, I do not consume milk. I'm a vegan, but I do believe that if people want to drink unpasteurized milk, they have a right to do it, because if I want to smoke, they said I have a right. I'm 53. They said I have a right to smoke. So we know smoking causes so much ill health, so many sicknesses from heart attack, stroke, diabetes, high blood pressure, lung cancer, you name it. And yet I have a right to buy cigarette or cigar products. Yet I do not have the right to buy unpasteurized milk.
It's that's pretty amazing. that, you know, we've come to the point to where, as you said, you can smoke cigarettes or go or buy cigarettes across state lines. In most cases, the same with alcohol if you're of age.
Exactly.
And these things are drugs, you know. They and I agree with you as like you, I don't consume dairy milk, and yet I believe that if you can take the right of a person that does consume it of their own free will, then how long is it before you can take my right not to consume it?
You are so right. As a matter of fact, I understand, and I haven't verified this, but I understand that those farmers who do not use growth hormones in producing milk from their cows are not allowed to put that their milk does not contain growth hormones. It also shows, as you said, that if they are able to really do that to those who produce raw milk, and sell it, how long will they say, well, we don't have a right to fresh fruits and vegetables or to natural grains or to whatever they deem best? Because if they think, well, the grains have to be irradiated or the vegetables have to be irradiated, then they will say, well, listen, you as a farmer or you as a consumer cannot, you as a farmer can't sell, you know, non-irradiated fruits and vegetables, or you and I, as the consumer, we have no right to have access to such fruits and vegetables. So when they take away people's rights to buy a product that is legal, like unpasteurized milk, then how long will it take them to really trample on our rights in other areas? Now, I believe, yes, sure, it should be labeled unpasteurized milk so that any consumer is going to buy it somewhat knows the risk. And sure, I don't mind a label being on it. Say, well, listen, you are at risk if you drink this milk. It should be there. So that
right,
the unsuspecting, the ignorant person, right, can know that, well, listen, they face certain possible risk. But apart from that, they should have the right to purchase such products.
I agree. We are here at Blue Zone Wellness with myself, Keith Henry, and Dr. Orette Morgan. We're talking this evening about a few articles that that have come out in the past week dealing with health or directly or indirectly natural remedies, news stories that have been published or have come out. If you want to call in, we have about roughly 20 minutes left on this broadcast. If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio / Blue Zone Wellness, and you can chime in via chat. We'll be right back after this brief message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
We're back here at Blue Zone Wellness. This is Keith Henry, ND, and Also, who's co-hosting the show with me this evening is Dr. Orrett Morgan, ND. We've been talking about some of the news articles that have come out in the past week, dealing with health and natural remedies and some of the and food and eating, etc. And we just finished discussing some of the restrictions that the FDA has or the position that they're taking. Basically, that we do not have a right to freely choose what we and our family should eat in the long term, in a nutshell. Now, we'll go on. We're down to about roughly 20 minutes, and we have about two articles left here. And Dr. Morgan, the next article is an article, again, taken from naturalnews.com on April 2nd. That was yesterday when it was published. And it's entitled, Antipsychotic Drugs Lead to Blood Clots. And it says that new research out of the UK adds to the growing body of evidence highlighting the dangers of antipsychotic drugs. It says that data gathered from tens of thousands of patient records reveals that popular antipsychosis drugs like AstraZeneca, Cyclovir, Eli Lilly, Zyprexa, Johnson & Johnson's Risperdal, and Bristol-Myers Squibb's Abilify can cause severe blood clots in patients. Now, we've talked about consistently that all drugs have side effects, both known and unknown. And here we see more and more evidence that is coming out with regard to these antipsychotic drugs in that they are causing serious and life-threatening blood clots. And we have this article which is evidence from the UK, and it goes on to say further that after accounting for other risk factors, researchers determined that such drugs increase blood clot risk by an average of 32%. And one of the drugs, called Cyclovir, was found to be the worst of all, increasing blood clot risk by a whopping 300%. If I'm taking a drug, an antipsychotic drug, and are you there, Dr. Morgan?
Yes, I'm listening. Yes,
okay.
Dr. Henry.
If I'm taking an antipsychotic drug, and there are issues to where I can increase my blood clot probability by 300%, which could very easily end my life. Do you believe that the change off is even worth it?
In most cases, it's not worth it because sometimes the side effects is worse than the condition that the drug is prescribed for. I remember someone showing me the insert that came out of the Celebrex. Celebrex is a painkiller prescribed for like arthritis and other painful conditions. And Dr. Henry, the side effects are I read on there were stroke, heart attack, kidney failure, liver failure, and about 30 other major conditions. And so, look, the same thing with Prozac. Prozac is an antidepressant, anti-anxiety drug. Yet, if you read the insert on it or you look it up on the net this or check the PDR on it, it will say that it causes depression. Now, this is a drug that is prescribed for depression. Right? It causes anxiety. But then you get a third one, which you didn't have before. It increases one's chance of suicide twofold.
Hmm.
All right. So, then as we're dealing with the increasing of clot, this is where I part company with the vast majority of people in the medical community, in the conventional medical community, they have done, let me say, they have done a wonderful job over the years in the aspect of diagnostic approach. If you want to know what's wrong with you, please rush to an allopathic doctor who will order the necessary tests. If it's surgery that is necessary, they do a fine job. If it's trauma care, you're mangled in an auto accident, God forbid, sure, it's an emergency room. No natural supplement or herb right off the bat is going to help you under that condition. However, where I part company with them most of the time is the wide application of drugs like these, where they do not check for the underlying cause. But not only that, can you imagine someone taking a drug like that and they're still eating their chicken, their fish, their beef, drinking their milk, that is loaded, these things are loaded with cholesterol, which now increases, right, their chance of having a stroke because they are taking a drug that will increase clotting to bring on a stroke, and they are on a diet or a lifestyle that is also increasing their chance, and the doctor says nothing to them.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the reasons that we've talked about in the past, to some degree, that the healthcare costs have skyrocketed. You know, because when we have a system to where, like we have here with these, with this antipsychotic drug leading to blood clots. So now, in most cases, they're going to put them on this antipsychotic drug as opposed to stopping and sitting down and trying to find out, you know, what's actually causing the problem. I can remember taking in school a class called orthomolecular nutrition, and they were talking about the evidence on how in many, many, many cases severe nutritional deficiencies which deprive the brain of the necessary food can actually lead to severe mental problems.
Definitely.
And so, you know, and instead of sitting down, finding out, okay, what are the issues here, we give them or they give them an antipsychotic drug. The antipsychotic drug, after a while, they begin to find out, okay, this is going to increase the likelihood of your developing blood clots, in some cases by up to 100%. So now what's going to have to happen is that some other drug is going to have to be given to maybe help lessen the effect of the antipsychotic drug in this case, thereby adding even additional burden to the liver and the kidneys, and maybe setting the system up down the road for some other ailment or abnormality or maybe even death.
Well, no, let me tell you a scary story of what happened in the 60s, and I can attest to the fact of what I'm about to share with you, Dr. Henry, because my wife has a first cousin who became a victim of the wonder-working drug of the 60s called thalidomide, which was prescribed for morning sickness. So women who were pregnant and going through awful changes, vomiting, you know, and whatever, they were prescribed this wonder-working drug, thalidomide, only to find out later on that many of them had babies that were born without hands or feet. And so my wife has a first cousin in New York City who was actually born in such a condition. Sure, her parents and herself got millions from the drug company, but I wouldn't want to trade place with them, right? Because your health is more important than the millions of dollars that these drug companies are required to pay out once, you know, it is proven that the drug is a culprit in these cases. So it goes back to what we are saying, that we as a public, you and I, and those who are listening, right, need to take responsibility for our own health. And don't rely on these drug companies, the pharmacies, the doctors, to take care of our health. They are there to help, but we are the best guardian of our own health.
That's true. We are indeed the best guardians of our own health. No one will take care of ourselves like we will. And you know, to mention something else that this article mentioned, this antipsychotic drugs lead to blood clot article. The article went on to say that in general, people taking these atypical antipsychotic drugs are roughly 73% more likely to develop blood clots than people who do not take these drugs. The article also said that I would I'm sorry, let me quote. Here's another quote. Quote, I will consider this an important but modest increase in risk, explained Julia Hitchcock-Cox, medical doctor from the University of Nottingham, in an interview to WebMD. She says the study adds to the accumulating evidence of adverse health events associated with antipsychotics. You know, that is a very, very, in my opinion, very, very significant increase. Because, you know, you have a 73% increase or more likelihood of developing a blood clot than when you're taking these drugs than a person that does not take them. That's a pretty significant increase, 73%. That's almost saying, you know, you're pretty much going to develop the blood clot.
And you know, Dr. Henry, as you said earlier, there are interventions that can be done for most of these folks that they don't have to really go on such a drug or on the long-term basis, because if many a times people are depressed, you know, or they certain psychological factor, you know, mental problem develop because they are not drinking enough water or on poor diet, you know, eating the wrong things, not getting enough rest, maybe need a change of environment, poor quality of air, you know. Now, for example, when we talk about not getting enough rest, right, most people in this country go to bed late, go to bed after 10, 11, and even 12. Some people go to bed after that. And therefore, their brain would not make enough serotonin in the pineal gland, which set them up to be depressed, anxious, or unable to handle the challenges of the following day. So if when someone goes to the doctor would say, well, listen, ask them, what time did you go to bed? How much water are you drinking? Are you on a good exercise program? And so many a time, just as you the message in the break said, the doctors of the future will be the food and healthy lifestyle, we could dispense with less drugs in this country, right? However, the drug companies wouldn't be happy. Many of our doctors wouldn't be happy because they make a lot of money from the side effects of these drugs.
That is so true. And, you know, what's a good thing that's happening is that over the last few years, decades or whatnot, a couple of decades, especially in the last, you know, 5 to 8 years, more and more people are becoming more and more knowledgeable about these things, and many people are starting to make these significant changes with regard to their health and their lifestyle. Now, we have just over about 6 minutes left, and I just wanted to briefly talk about the last article. It's not directly dealing with health, but it deals with Walmart. The CEO of Walmart came out this week, as well as another, I think it was MainStreet.com. They published an article talking about how, what the CEO of Walmart said, you know, the consumers, you know, your food prices are going to go up. And also, you know, the other article on MainStreet.com, they talked about how the companies, in order to kind of not, you know, stay outcry, they're giving smaller packages of smaller amounts in foods, but they're keeping the price at the same level. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, how we've always talked about the necessity of eating good and of trying to eat closer to the garden. But it's also becoming also a financial issue, which can lead to stress and, you know, anxiety, which then becomes a health issue because, you know, when people say, well, you know, I'm already, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck, And now, you know, I have so many children to feed, and now I'm spending the same amount of money for less food, you know. And so now we get into a situation of people being stressed out and being and not knowing what to do, and now it becomes not only a financial but a health issue. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Dr. Henry, and, you know, my I share your concern. And on the other hand, yeah, I go to the gas pump, and I remember maybe last year this time I was paying $2 and maybe 30 cents for a gallon of gas. Now I'm paying almost $4.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not the only one buying gas. I know the food manufacturers, so in order for them to ship out the food, they have to pay the increase in gas. They have to pay an increase in their electric bill and all of these things, because once gas price goes up, it affects the production of everything, because electricity is involved and electricity is used to provide power. Gas is used to provide power, you know, and the transportation of goods. And so it's a sad situation because instead of the manufacturers increasing the price, which it will be quite obvious, say the pack of peanut, jar of peanut butter was, say, $3.50. Instead of putting a 25 cents on it, what they basically do is in that 20, instead of a 16-ounce jar, they will make it now a 15-ounce jar.
Right.
And so it is not easy for the manufacturers either, you know, in situations like this, because since gas has been going up, they have been confronted with a heavy increase in production and transportation costs.
This is exactly right. And myself, being a business owner, and yourself as well, we know the we understand from that angle how, you know, it becomes increasingly difficult whenever your operating expenses increase for you to maintain, you know, even not only a profit margin, but in many cases, even to be able to stay in business.
Exactly.
When these things occur. Now, we're down to about 3 minutes. And I'd just like to, Dr. Morgan, would you go ahead and, if you would, and mention, we've left about roughly like 2 minutes. You know, you or yourself, or and we talked about this before, are in the process of getting more into your health food business going. And can you tell the people, the listeners, just tell them a little bit about what you're doing, what you have, you know, the ice cream and whatnot, and some of the other things that you have, if you have about a minute to do so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Dr. Henry. Yes, my wife and I, we have, and our five children, we have been trying to get off the ground, and we're in the final stage of it in manufacturing health food, 100% vegan, without no refined foods. So whatever we're putting on the market will be totally wholesome, no preservatives, no additives. And this came about as a result of our 20-something years of doing seminars and cooking schools. People have been bombarding us with the request to put on the market some healthy foods. And so we're in the process of finalizing that.
Great. And I can tell you for sure that once these foods, I've tasted some of it, and I can tell the listeners for sure, once these foods come out in their full force, they're foods that you don't have to sacrifice taste to eat healthy. And I believe I wholeheartedly believe that many more people, if they realize that they don't have to sacrifice taste to eat healthy, I believe many more people would be inclined to eat healthy. And even now, you have situations where people can order for you from you personally right now. Is that correct?
Yes. We've been taking orders.
Okay. We got about 30 seconds. Would you give them a number in the event that they want to order something from you?
Right.
You guys ship in other places in the country, correct?
Yes. Okay. Our number is 407-310-802 or 407-777-0432.
Great. And I can tell you, do you guys ship that ice cream as well? I mean, have you figured out a way to ship that without it? You use dry ice and whatnot to ship it?
Yeah, we're looking into ways how we can really do that. So hopefully within another month or so, we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
Well, and we have about 8 flavors in the ice cream. And my favorite is the butter pecan.
Is it butter pecan?
I think you had some yesterday, Dr. Henry, right?
Oh, yes, I did. And it was excellent.
Okay,
so if you guys are looking, if you're interested in eating and you want to order some, feel free to contact him. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Thank you, Dr. Henry. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks.
You too. Thank you.